Now, James Terry Scott, the retired Army Lieutenant General, whom we heard from in Joe Shapiro's report, General Scott chairs the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission. He says, based on the data so far, he thinks he knows how to solve the problem of such low disability ratings made by the armed forces.
I'm speaking today for myself and not for the commission or the other commissioners. What I think would best serve our service members, and for that matter the services in the VA, is for the DOD to make an assessment of fitness or unfitness for duty, and the service member then passes immediately to the VA for evaluation of disability or disabilities. And that should cut out the wide variation amongst the services and between DOD and VA.
Given that the VA itself has a backlog in the hundreds of thousands, are they in any position to take on a new responsibility?
Well, 80% of those soldiers who appear before the physical evaluation board show up at the VA's doorstep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 12,000 a year. So 20%, what's that, 2,400 more cases would have to be adjudicated by the VA. My sensing is that there is agreement that the veterans disability side of the veterans secretariat needs more people in the adjudication business, and I sense that that's part of the solution.
Well, back to what the situation is now. Mm-hmm. We heard you say in your Senate testimony that, as you see it, the Pentagon has a strong incentive to rate people under 30% disabled, because that way they limit their obligation to them to severance pay rather than very expensive medical costs. Do you believe that that incentive was actually articulated to people who are doing the ratings? Did somebody say, let's keep them low because we can't afford too many disabled vets qualifying for lifelong DOD medical care, or did people just understand what the incentive was?
Well, I don't think that that has ever been articulated. There is a very widespread perception in the veterans community and the veterans service organization community that DOD does, in fact, take that into consideration. Obviously, there is no evidence of that, and I would prefer to think that it's just a matter of perception and the fact that there's such a shade, there's a fine shade of difference between 30 and not 30.
Explain to us, for people who are unfamiliar with these mm-hmm. systems, if somebody is rated, say, 30 or 40% disabled by the Department of Defense and they qualify for mm-hmm. health insurance, what is the difference for them and their families between that situation and coming out 20% disabled and then going to the Veterans Hospital instead?
Well, the primary difference is the family care. The Veterans Administration does not offer family care for anyone who is not 100% disabled. So if you fall in the something below 100%, your family is not eligible for medical care from the VA. But on the other hand, if you are above the 30% threshold in disability as determined by the DOD, the family is eligible for essentially health care. Now, that's there are co-pays, there are, you know, this is not, we're not talking free here.
Right.
We're talking about a very solid, good health care plan for the family.
So it just happens that the issue of disability coming out of the armed services collides with the broader question we're facing in American society, which is health insurance and who has it and who doesn't have it.
Exactly. If there were universal health insurance of some kind, most of this would go away in terms of the difference between the 29% and the 31% disability. But in the current environment, mm-hmm. it does make, as you well know, a big difference as to whether or not your family has insurance coverage.
Well, General Scott, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
It's General James Terry Scott, a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General, who is the chairman of the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission.